Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast with your favorite Jersey girl, Cher Renee. And y'all know we are in season four. We are talking about survivor stories. But y'all also know that I had to end this season with a roundtable. So this roundtable is geared towards what we have survived based off of specific stereotypes that each individual person that is on the platform tonight, they have experienced. So I brought three of my favorite people to come to us and talk to us a little bit about some of the things that they've experienced. Now, these three people you have seen on the show before, and they are no stranger to the platform, but you know, as I do always, there will be a countdown for them. So I would like to introduce to some and bring back to others, author Nikki Nicole, Thomas Barron, and Charlie Nice. Hey, y'all.
Hello, hello.
What's going on? Look at Arthur Nikki looking like she nervous.
Child, I am. I was sweating all in my face. I'm like, I'm acting like this is the first time I've been on this show. I don't know.
Okay. You probably got a permanent seat on the Blemished Beauty, okay? So I'm nervous.
I can't. Girl, I'm sweating.
Okay, so we just gonna jump right into it, y'all. So I can give y'all each a moment to tell everybody about yourself, and then we're gonna get into the conversation. We're gonna start from Nikki, then Thomas, then Charlie.
Oh, I knew she was gonna start me.
You right there, you next to me.
Go last.
Okay, you wanna go last, sis? Okay, let's start with Charlie, then Thomas, now then you. Okay, go ahead, Charlie. You up first.
I gotta go first. You know what? Hey everybody, how you doing? My name is Charlie Nice. You know, I'm a poet, a dreamer, a prophet. I go by that. Basically, we're here to cover a topic and have some fun tonight.
I guess it's on me. Husband, father, man of God, living life, ready to talk about whatever it is we ready to talk about. Let's get into it.
All right. I'm author Nikki Nicole, host of the Breaking the Silence podcast, graphic designer, and you name it, and I am it. I'm ready to support you, sis, on this set today and talk about whatever we need to talk about.
She ain't say that right. You're supposed to say, I'm the host of the international.
Here she go with this mess again. Every time I'm up here.
You got to get this right, okay? Because then you didn't even say life coach. Come on now. You be shortchanging yourself. Do it over.
Listen, let me tell you something. Okay, I am the host of the international Breaking the Silence podcast, life coach, graphic designer, singer, songwriter.
There we go. Come on here. Put some respect on your name. Come on here now. You off the nigga Nicole.
I'm gonna stop coming up here.
This is the last one, y'all. So this we gonna have some fun. But in all seriousness, though, each and every one of us have faced some type of stereotype that we have survived. Individually, collectively, because we're all of African American descent. So, you know, each one of you, what have you gone through specifically that was the most, I don't want to say traumatic, but what was the most difficult for you to kind of stereotype wise? Then we're going to start with Nikki, then Thomas, then Charlie.
She still came back around to me first. Y'all see how she did that, y'all? Okay, let's see. We have so many stories I can talk about. Me being an African-American gay female, I do experience a lot of stereotyping there because I do dress like a guy. So cops normally, I've been stopped before, y'all, by cops because they thought I was a guy until they got my ID and realized I was a female and they didn't let me go. So that has happened to me like over and over again. You know, that was when I cut my hair down low. So, you know, I had a hat on or something. So that kind of stuff, you know, people got to stop doing. Just because you are that masculine part of a female in a gay relationship doesn't mean that you're, I do have a soft side too. I do. I like to think I have a soft side, but they do think that you're hard because you're dressed like a dude. I'm just comfortable. I'm comfortable. I mean, in a nutshell. Whoever next, Charlie. Charlie, go ahead.
No, it's on me. Well, first of all, Nikki, you do not look like no dude. I don't know why they're stopping you at all. Let's keep it 100 here. I can probably go over a lot, but simply just being a black man, period. And then being a black man from the hood on top of that. Because I can walk down the street and people are still cross over the street. Now, if you pay attention to the graphic that comes on in the beginning, I got a hoodie that says, Jesus, he will be there for you. And I wear that a lot. And people will still cross the street. And it's just, and I know me, I don't take offense to that anymore. But it's still like, in this day and age, it's like, come on, man. I'm not trying to do nothing to you. I'm just trying to get where I'm going, just like you trying to get where you going. That's probably the most annoying thing. It's just, you know, people assuming things simply because you're a black man walking around in a hoodie and a do-rag.
Charlie.
Yeah, I could say the same too. Dealing with police, like us as black people, I feel as though that we're paying for other blacks that was before us because, you know, they see us and we dress a certain way and they look at us, they're like, oh, look at him, you know what I mean? Let's pull him over. You know what I'm saying? Like, it shouldn't be like that. I wish it wasn't like that, you know? Wish you could get to know me because I'm better. But I'm saying, like, we go through a lot, you know? Us as black men, black females too. Sorry about what happened to you, Nikki. Sorry about what happened to you, Thomas. But we got to look at it as, man, as we live in, we just got to watch our back because we're a target and it shouldn't be like that. What do we have to do to prevent it? We don't even know. Even if we have a shirt on that says, you know, I'm good or, you know what I mean? Something positive, they'll still pull us over. So it's like, it's a lose-lose situation on that one.
Yeah, you're right about that because even with my oldest, I tell him, you have to be twice as smart. You know, you have to stand out twice as harder because you live in an area where you're the minority, not the majority, right? So with him, I try to tell him now to just be open and keep your eyes open and your ears open and be prepared for these things because in the world that we live in, they're going to judge you first before they get to know who you are. And that is something that you guys were saying based off of your situations that's what has happened to you. People have judged you based off of the color of your skin or how you dress or, you know, just from your area, you might not sound like them or whatever the case may be before getting to know who you are. So, you know, in my case, being a single mom and the divorcee and all the things, we get judged too. Single mothers, you know, dating is harder for us. Being divorced is harder for us. Even in the church realm, you know, we could talk about that. Just divorce in general, that you're getting judged for that because God frowns upon divorce, but why did I get divorced? That's the question. Instead of asking questions, you just automatically assume, right? So who has inspired you? Has anybody inspired you to kind of step out and want to be the difference maker? Because we are the difference maker for each and every category that we fit in, right? So has anyone inspired you to be the difference maker?
Well, in my case, I would have to say my aunt was the start of me making a difference in the world, because when I first told her, you know, my lifestyle, from the moment I told her, she was like, girl, you know, she cursed, of course, because she cursed like a sailor. She's like, you tell me something I didn't know. I knew that. Why are you just not telling me that? Anyway, what else you want to talk about? So with her, you know, instilling that into me that, you know, she still loved me regardless, you know, one, I'm Black. Two, I'm a female. Then I'm gay. Just imagine going through life with those three strikes against you already in your life. That's enough. So that encouraged me, besides my children and my grandson, now, you know, to keep pushing, to do whatever I need to do. Maybe one day I'll be an advocate about it, but a lot of people that's in the lifestyle don't want to talk about it. And that's just real. Don't want to talk about it because there's so much pain behind it. You know, family not accepting you, losing friends, you know, going through many, many moments of suicide. So a lot of people don't want to talk about that type of thing. So maybe one day I'll be an advocate for it. Maybe I can encourage people to tell their stories. But a lot of people don't want to come forth and tell it because there's so much pain behind it.
For me, it would probably be my brother-in-law, my sister, my oldest sister's husband. I tell everybody he's where all my bad habits come from. I always make fun of him because he, growing up, he was pretty much my dad. My dad wasn't around, and I was at a certain point in my life, my sister had temporary custody of me because of some stuff my mama was going through. But just growing up, the two men that I had consistently in my life were my brother-in-law and my big brother. Those were my fathers. And those two men taught me basically what it was to be a man, not just to be a man, but be a Black man and to try to garner some success in life, and how to work hard for your family, how to remain faithful to your wife, how to want to raise your kids in a certain way and not to just fit those stereotypes of, you know, being the unfaithful Black man who leaves his woman and he's cheating on her all the time. That's what I saw in my brother-in-law and in my brother, because they made wives out of their women. Not only did they do that, but they stayed with them and they're still together even to this day. My older sister got married, I think I was 8 years old, and they're still married right now. And my brother got married, I believe I want to say 15, 16, and he's still married to this day. They all have grown kids that they have raised, and all these kids are doing well in their own respective lives. None of them are locked up. None of them are felons. None of them are, you know, out here causing ruckus in the street, in and out of jail. So those two men, I would say my brother and my brother-in-law, those were my inspirations to be a better Black man in this world.
Charlie, who was your inspiration for you to be the difference maker in your family and society?
Hold on. There I go. I'm a church boy. And in my church, it was a guy, his name was Richard Cox, and he used to have Youth Fridays, and he used to tell us, you know, to stay away from such and such. It's like he groomed us, basically. He would tell us to keep thriving for what we have, stay out of the street, stay out of, you know, gang activity, and, you know, just do positive. Help your mom out when you can, help your father. Sometimes you gotta be the man in your house if your father's not there, you know? Take care of your siblings, your brothers and sisters, you know? When you get a certain age, you gotta get a job and do what you gotta do. He helped me get my first job at McDonald's. I was 14. And I appreciate that, man, because without him, I don't know where I'll be right now, to tell you the truth.
So we all have had examples of, you know, well, for me, I didn't say mine, but for me, it was my grandmother. She died when I was 13, but just seeing her as just this feminine, like, woman, she was like the, she embodied all the women that I saw on TV, the Claire Huxtables and stuff like that. I've always loved those classic women who were just naturally pretty. There was no, you know, extras added to them, if y'all know what I mean. Like, they were always like the great moms and different things like that. So that gave me inspiration to just be the type of mom that I am, and just to always talk to my boys, because we grew up in a society where children were supposed to be seen and not heard. So a lot of the things we couldn't talk about. We couldn't voice our opinions. We couldn't voice our feelings because we were being grown or whatever the case may be. And then with churches too, they kind of raised us the same way. Like, we didn't have those outlets to kind of talk. You just had to participate in these ministries and do the things and just listen, soak up stuff in Sunday school and all of that. So I wanted to give my boys an outlet where they can voice their opinions and let them, you know, let them feel safe enough to express themselves, because when they grow up in a world where it's not safe for them to express themselves. It's being told that real men don't cry. It's being told that, you know, you have to be strong and you can't do this and you can't do that. But if you can't do that from everywhere that you go, where are they going to let loose? Where is the outlet going to take place? So not having that was also the inspiration for me to provide that for everybody that's in my circle. So since you guys have had role models, how do you help others by being a role model? Each one of you are known for mentorships in some type of way. So what do you do to encourage the next generation to be the difference maker for their generation like you are for yours? Same order.
Well, you got to practice what you preach. You have to model what success looks like, what, you know, everything looks like to in their eyes, because they're watching you. You never know who's watching you. Sometimes you're doing things and you, my children watch me a lot. My grandson watches me a lot, and just with the simplest things. So you have to be careful what you do. You have to, if you say it, you got to mean it. So, I mean, I, everyday life, you just live. I'm just myself. You got to always be yourself. Just be yourself, be authentic in everything that you do, and move with integrity, and everything else will fall in place. And they're going to look at you and they're going to want to be like you. And next thing you know, you have people looking at you that want to be role model. You're my role model. And you're like, me, little on me. Cause I say that a lot, but you just have to practice what you preach, and you have to try to talk about your experiences. Don't be ashamed of what you go through. Don't be ashamed of what you've been through. Tell your story. Because somebody else out there going to tell it better than you. You tell it. It's your story. So tell your story through your lenses to whoever will listen. So that way you can teach the next generation to be better than you. So, yeah, practice what you preach, period.
That's a big fact, especially being yourself at all times. Shira, knowing me for as long as we've known each other, she'll tell you that I'm me wherever I'm at. It don't matter who I'm around. It don't matter whether it's family or friends or strangers. I'm me all the time. But as far as how I try to leave my mark, I always had, you know, my nephews, my oldest nephews, my oldest nieces, my little cousins, we're all around the same age range. I'm 39. My oldest niece and nephew are only 3 years younger than me. And then the next two are only 4 years younger than me. And then my cousins that I was always around, they're also only 4 years younger than me. So we're all right there and together. But I, being the oldest, everybody was like, oh, I want to be like you. And my motto is, don't be me, be better than me. I don't want you to be like me. I got faults. I made 1,000 mistakes. I have flaws. I got personality issues. I want you to see my mistakes and not make them. I want you to make the same mistakes I made. Don't be me, be better. Look at my mistakes so you know what not to do. Because if you know what not to do, then you know which direction you need to go in to get around that mistake. Figured out what I did to fix it and do the fixing instead of making the mistake. That's how I try to leave my mark. And I want to, and I don't want anybody to have sour grapes when they meet me. I want my first impression or my second impression to be like, hey, he's a good dude. And I don't do anything special to give you that, but I'm going to show you that even though I just met you, I care. Or I got love for you regardless. I'm going to love you with the love of Christ. Charlie said, he a church boy. So am I. I'm a whole minister preacher in these streets. So I'm going to show you a love. I'm going to show you the love of Christ because that's what I want. I want to leave an impression like, hey, I like him. And if you don't, then you don't.
You got to unmute. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I got to feel you on that one, Thomas. I can honestly say reach one, teach one, because I work in a school system. And about a year ago, I had ran into one of these kids, and he was like, yo, you used to cook at this school? I'm like, yeah. So he was like, oh, you know, I'm in my first year of college, and I took your advice. You know, you helped me through some things. I was like, yo, I'm so proud of you. This kid used to fight every single day, bought a knife to school, got suspended. The cops locked him up. I just felt so proud of him because I heard him say, yo, I listened to you and what you had to say. We as Black men grow sick and tired of seeing these young kids go through so much. And there's so much that we could do for them. If it's to pull them to the side and talk to them and tell them, yo, man, you got somebody in your corner. You want to come talk to me? Come talk to me. If you got nobody at home that's not listening to you, I'll listen to you. I'll help you out in the best way that I can. These kids don't have that nowadays. They don't. And it's hard for them. It really is. But it's people out here like me and Thomas that's willing to do that. You know what I'm saying? But it's just hard. It really is.
Okay, author Nikki Nicole. This is your favorite part. This is the last question. You looking like, I know you lying. No, I'm not lying.
You didn't answer the question.
Okay. All right, Nikki. So what I do is I just remain vulnerable. And that's something that I still struggle with. But I'm learning that in my vulnerability, a lot of people resonate with it. So, you know, sometimes when you go through stuff, you'll be thinking like, I don't want nobody to know that. But, you know, we are truly overcome by our testimonies. So when you do talk about what you go through in real time, you not only free yourself, but you give other people wings to fly as well. And that's how I try to help others. The podcast in itself, that's just me being vulnerable in real time, you know, giving people topics on things that I wonder about. There are so many people that'll hit me up and be like, oh, I didn't know this, or I didn't do that, or that. So that's just me pouring back some of the things that I didn't have when I was going through. So now I feel like it's my obligation to, now that I know better, to do better and to help other people know better so they can do better. And then hopefully it'll just continue to pay it forward and pay it forward. So yeah, as a society, what do you think we can do to show up better for each other? There is a lot of fakeness going around. People who claim to love you and they don't love you, but they are around to kind of soak up what it is that you have, you know, whether it's something you provide, just your energy, your persona, whatever it is. There's so much fluff like in society, so many bad influences. what can we do as influencers, podcasters, mentors? What do you think we can do to continue to help other people tap into what it is that we're doing?
Well, when you learn the art of showing up for yourself first, then you can venture out and start showing up for other people. Then once you start showing up for those people, then you need to know that sometimes God uses you to help others. And with that being said, you need to know what your role is and what your job is. You help that person and you move on. You do what God sent you to do. And don't try to connect yourself personally with people, because sometimes, like you said, we talked about this type of stuff all the time. Everybody has an expiration date. Mm-hmm. Everybody. You know, Tyler Perry said it best. Everybody, it's always a season. Everybody, you're going through different seasons. So if we can start recognizing that people are in our lives for seasons, everybody has an expiration date, and that we're also helping people through God, then guess what? We're gonna be able to show up for anybody and everybody and let God use us effectively. So once you put God in the midst of everything you're doing, everything else is going to fall through for you. Period. You're going to show up for yourself and others.
Oof. I don't know if I can go after that.
Of course you can.
Well, showing up for yourself is definitely the most important part, because if you can't be there for you, you can't be there for nobody else. We have to, number one, take our face out of these little pocket demons. Yeah.
Not pocket demons.
Mm-hmm. Pocket demons. One of my favorite prophets in the world, her name is Amanda Hill. She calls them little pocket demons. We got to take our face out of that, because we spend way too much time with our face in there, in these phones and these laptops and these tablets, and even with the television screen. Because we got to stop letting TV and social media raise these kids, because right now that's what's happening. Social media is raising these kids, and man, the stuff that you can see on social media is insane. I mean, good Lord, if I saw half of this stuff when I was a kid growing up, I don't know what kind of man I'd be right now. But we're seeing, we're now seeing the manifestation of kids growing up trying to be what they see in their cell phones. Like right now, like, God forbid, all day, and I want to talk about all day, all I've heard is young Felt not going to jail. Why do I care? That has no bearing on my life. Now, granted, y'all are fans, and I understand that. I have my own fandom of certain people, but him not going to jail has no bearing on my life whatsoever. Because just like I could be a fan of him, I could be a fan of somebody else making music too. So who cares? The bottom line is, who cares? But we got to start showing our kids more attention, because our kids are being raised by social media and other kids. I refuse to let my kids not be raised by the two parents in their household. Because if the two parents in their household ain't raised, somebody's raising your kid, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
For me, thankfully, I had, you know, a good mother and a good brother and two good sisters to help raise me. But now, because of the state of the world, you got parents working more than one job. You got single parents working more than one job.
Mm-hmm.
You got cell phones. You got tablets. You got PCs. You got everything under the roof. You got, let's be real, you got porn free everywhere. You got, yeah, everything is literally in the palm of your hand, and within seconds you have access to it. And I think that's where we we benefited from, because we didn't have all this. You had to go to stores to get certain stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wasn't old enough to walk in that store and buy what you, God forbid the store owner knew your mama. Because my mother is the mother I knew everybody.
Okay.
Everybody knew Miss Dot. So
okay.
You walk up in a store and you trying to get something you know you ain't supposed to get. Well, you got a problem when you get back home.
Okay.
Because store owner gonna pick up the phone and your mother's on the phone by the time you get back home, she already know what you done did. But I'm gonna get off my soapbox. To answer the question, we gotta start showing up for these kids, man. Because these kids are lost and it's bad and it's not gonna get any better until our generation does something about it. And do something about it, you show up. You figure out what they want, not what you want for them. What do y'all want out of life? When you figure out what they want, then you can do what Paul says when he says, I become all things to all people. Because in order to become all things to all people, you can't want what you want for them. You got to want what they want. And if you know what they want, then you can kind of twist and turn things to make yourself more appealing to them. Because if you don't appeal to them, they ain't listening to you. They can care less about what you have to say. And this generation will tell you to your face, they don't care what you got to say.
They so sure
will. Let's be better at listening to these kids, and let's not be the generation that says you are to be seen and not heard. And in my household, you weren't even supposed to be able to be seen. If mama had company, you stayed in the room.
That part.
But let's teach our kids. Let's teach our young men. It's okay to be emotional, vulnerable, and transparent. Teach our girls. It's okay to want more for yourself outside of what some man can give you. Let's teach our children. It's okay to be in two-parent households. And let's teach them, hey, if you want to get married, learn how to work for it. Because marriage is work. And if you're not willing to work, then don't get married.
Okay. Are you going to talk about something? How can he follow that?
Shh. Hush.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
He went to the soapbox on y'all.
Sorry, Charlie.
I don't think I can follow that. Damn.
It starts spinning. Holy Spirit be giving me that word vomit, y'all. I'm sorry.
Charlie, just say what he said.
What he said.
I was going to say make me go last. I really was going to say it.
Yeah. What he said. Yeah.
Charlie, they did me like that before on one of Shears round table. They said all that good stuff and I was the last one to go. I said, what y'all think I'm supposed to say? Everything they said.
Exclamation point. Shit.
Oh okay. My God. Okay. So, oh man. So, last thing I want y'all to do, and Thomas is going to go last. I want y'all to talk to the people in your demographic. Nikki, you know, you being a Black woman, gay Black woman, I want you to talk to them and tell them just some words of advice. You are a motivator, so I want you to motivate them. Be on your soapbox, as you will. Charlie and Thomas, you guys are men, Black men. Thomas, you being married, you touched on it a little bit, but you know, just give them some advice about, you know, it's okay to want to get married. You know, the stereotype now is to have multiple women. If you look on TV, that's the norm. I love me some Ratchet TV, so don't watch Love and Hip Hop because ain't nobody married on there. Everybody's sleeping with everybody. So, you know, just give them some advice on that. You know, it's okay to be married. You know, it's still a good thing. Charlie, you know, you being like the dad and coming from that perspective, being around your kids, it's okay. Even if you're not with the mom, it's okay to still show up for your children. You know what I mean? A lot of the times we let those relationships cause us to let our children suffer. And that's not the case because they didn't ask to be here. So, you know, you coming from a father's perspective, letting these men know that, you know, having children, it's not their fault they're here, but it is your responsibility to do what you need to do and be around them to show them a better example of what to do, what not to do, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to let Charlie go first because he was stumped the last time. So I'm going to let him get his out first. Then we're going to start with, then we're going to go to Arthur, Nikki, Nicole, and we're going to end it off with Thomas. And then when you finish, tell the people where they can find you, okay?
All right, cool. I might as well just say it first. You can find me on Facebook, Charlie Nice Nice. You can find me on IG too, at Product of the 718. Dads out there, how y'all doing? If y'all in a relationship with the mother, you know, keep it 100, you know? We don't have families out there. Well, it's a lot of broken homes out there. And it's really, really sad. The ratio is getting greater and greater every day. Try to stick it out with your baby moms. And if you're not with her, you know, y'all have kids together, you know what I mean? Just show up for your kids, you know? Don't let your kids miss you. Try to be there as much as you can. Try to encourage them, you know what I mean? Tell them, you know, daddy's not here at night or whatever, you know, but I'm here for you, you know? I'm one call away. I'll be here. Pop up with them, you know? Take them to the park. Do whatever it takes to let them not miss you, you know? Because you're not there, it's going to hurt them. But then again, if you're there, it's going to let the love grow stronger and stronger every day. So just do what you got to do, you know? Keep in that father role, you know what I mean? Every single day that you can, all right?
All right. To the community. Back then, it was only a few letters in those letters, but now it's LG. I'm not going to mess that up. But anyway. To my community, give yourself permission to be you. Give yourself permission. Don't get so comfortable in the closet and think that's the only place that you can be. That's the safest place to be. Because you have to have courage. Have that courage to step out. Turn the knob and step out and see what's on the other side. Sometimes I know it's hard. It's hard. Everything is different now because then you had your spiritual parents, you know, that did not condone. You know, I went to church. As Charlie and Thomas said, I was a church girl. I was born and raised in the church. I sung on the choir. I ushered. If it had the name church in it, I had to do it. Unions, revivals. So my mother, you know, for a while when I came out, I didn't come out until my 21st birthday. Yeah, it took me all my life. And I knew when I was five. But it took me all my life to come out and have the courage to give myself permission to be myself. And then that's when I became free. Honestly, I started living my best life because I was finally happy. I might have lost everything, but it's okay because God is going to replenish everything that you lose in your life. You're going to go through that Job experience and it's got to be okay because God is going to bring it back full circle. But you got to believe that he's going to do that for you. Just like he blesses anybody else, he blesses me too. He's going to bless you too. So I just want you to know that it's okay to be you. Society already makes it hard for us, but eventually, even though my mother did not agree with it in the beginning, she loves me endlessly now. It took her some time, but she had to realize that I didn't change as a person. Who I loved did. That's it. So once they realize who you are, who you truly are, and that you didn't change as a person, it's just who you love is different. You're going to be okay with opening that door and walking out the closet. So I encourage you to just live life, love yourself. You got to first love yourself and have the strength and just believe that God is going to see you through it. He's going to get you through everything that you go through anyway. All right, I'm going to get off my soapbox now because I can go a long time about this. So you can find the Breaking the Silence podcast on YouTube, streaming on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 2 p.m. I pretty much have something going on every day on YouTube. So that's the best place to find me. Thanks, Cheryl, for having me, sis.
All right. As far as where to find me, if you're looking for me on Facebook, try to find me through one of these good people that we're on here with, because it's a million Thomas Barons on Facebook. As far as Instagram, TommyGunz920, TOMMYGUNZ920. That's my Instagram. That's probably where I spend a lot of my time at. But married men of God, know that you are important in your home. Know that you are the priest and the head of your household. What does that mean? That means without your leadership, certain things in that household are going to go amiss and your children could grow up lost. Learn to take command of your household. Now, when I say command of your household, that doesn't mean control everybody in your household, but to lead that household in a way that God approves you to lead that household. And if you know your scripture, man of God, you know how you are to lead your household. On the other end of the stick, man of God, men with titles, men in the church, ministers, pastors, bishops, and all above, let's try to keep your in your pants outside of your household. Let's stop bringing shame to our wives, especially in public forums, especially for those of us who have names. Let's learn to continue to be faithful to our wives, to keep that work going. If you learn to do that, your life will be much, much more blessed outside of you wanting something that she may not be willing to give you. And if she's not willing to give it to you, then you probably don't need it anyway. But I encourage you to remain the high priest of your household. I encourage you to be the head of your household while you let your wife be your neck, because without your neck, you can't move. Let's continue to grow our families. But in the midst of growing our families, let's learn to love and not be drill sergeants in our household. Learn to speak softly to your wife and your children. Learn to discipline without yelling and cussing. Be men, not dictators. I encourage you to work with your wife, not work over your wife. I encourage you to listen to your children. And when somebody expresses the way that they feel about something, I encourage you to listen, to comprehend, and to not respond with words, but respond with action. An action of love for whoever is expressing some displeasure with you. Also, men of God, learn how to receive the positivity that's coming from your wife. Men, sometimes we don't know how to accept compliments and gifts. I, as a man of God, am learning that myself till this day, to learn to receive compliments from my wife. Learn to receive compliments from my kids and learn how to receive gifts. If we enter into his courts with thanksgiving, we should receive those same gifts from our natural people with thanksgiving. Be encouraged, be courageous, but love first and everything else will fall in place.
Well, on that note, I hope you guys not only enjoyed this episode, this roundtable, but I hope you guys enjoyed this season. Season 4 has been all about survivor stories. We have had life coaches and we have had brave souls come and tell their stories and own their scars. So, like always, you guys, I want you to remember you are graced and gifted for a time such as this. You have purpose in this world and you have been created to do great and amazing things. I want to thank author Nikki Nicole, Thomas Barron, and Charlie Nice for being on this roundtable and just chatting it up with me And most of all, I want to thank you guys for your support and always coming by and joining me each and every Tuesday and Thursday for season 4. So until next season, you guys, I will talk to you later.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to leave a review. You can follow Shira on all major platforms and on YouTube at ShiraRenee510. Until next time, spread love, show grace, and shine bright.